for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Sunday morning, August the 31st, 2013. Kathy Joslin is the speaker of the morning, teaching on integrity.
Merrill, come up and speak a couple of words to you. He's a man of few words. If I can get through this without any tears, it would be great. Richard asked me to say something again today, and I told him, no way. No way am I getting back up there. I couldn't get from back there to here last night without crying. Because I thought about it. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I told him I wasn't going to do it, but then I thought about that. I said, well, that's rebellion. I can't have that in my life. I need to go back up there. I have led in my life a rebellious life. Pride has ruled my life. His brother last night, what he did. I'm 5'8 and 150 pounds, and I'm a little less now, but when I was younger, I had a lot of muscles too, and I played football. I hit the biggest guy when I was racing motorcycles. If somebody would try to take me out on the track, I'd go back after the next race and take him out. That is pride. Living the 6'2", 200 pound person that I wasn't, well, I tell you, that's the way a lot of people are, a lot of men. My father told me, you gotta get yourself together. You have to take over this. I ran home scared. Oh my God. What's he talking about? I have a life. It's not here. It's not here. It's a terrible thing. Be face to face with an awesome God. Gave it. I got a vision. Not too much about it. Two roads. One was narrow and long. Then she out of it. Hard to get down that trail. And the other one was bright and shiny. Straight. But further down the trail, it was darkness. Darkness. The Lord said, what are you going to do? You're going to follow me. It's a hard trail. It's a hard trail. It's not easy. There's no pie in the sky with him. Amen. We all will have troubles. But he told me that he would go through it with me. Standing up here destroys any pride that I have in my life. Because I know this is the last thing that I want to do. I've been forgiven so much. The Lord has been so good to me. Loving kindness. And every man here knows the Lord. If you can't get on your knees before Him and weep before Him and let all that other stuff go away, you need to pray some more. You need to get that pride out of you. It's an awesome thing to have pride. It tears you down. It causes you great stress in your life. If you let it go, it's peace and joy and the love of the Lord in you. And I just stand up here every day for the last 2 years since my father, a little longer, passed away. 23rd Psalm has been in that song. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want from day to day. Doesn't mean for what fast cars and fast motorcycles, big houses, all this stuff I've had. It's all worthless. It's all worthless. The Lord gives me every day my clothes, the air that I breathe, the water that I drink, the food that I eat, and shelter every day. Every day I thank Him, but I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, but I don't want to. He makes me. Because sheep want to go here and they want to go there. But He makes me lie down in green pastures. So I can restore my soul. We need that rest in Him. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Sometimes they're a little hard on me. That rod can be hard on the back leg, and the staff can jerk you back. But still, I walk through, and we do every day all of this, because of things, evil that is around us, is at our heels daily. So we walk through a valley of shadow of death. You don't even know the miracles that go on around you. You don't know that you were delayed over here 5 minutes and you're angry because, oh boy, I'm not going to get over here, but a car over here ran a red light 5 minutes earlier. Those are the miracles that people don't even know that are around them. God is watching after us every day. I'm living proof. I'm living proof that my God watches over me. I should be dead. And I've told you that before. I should be dead, but He has spared me to this day. To this day. And I still don't know what He has in store for me. But I know this one thing, that He has given me this day to praise Him, to glorify His name, to lift Him up, down on my knees and cry out to Him, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you. I thank all of you for being here. I love all of you. I just love all of you, Dad. And the people that are here, that work here, they work so hard. And I know, I can feel it in my spirit. I pray for them all the time. Lord, give them strength. Because they work hard. It's long days. But it's worth it. It's worth it because people come here to be set free. All of us have issues. I don't care who it is, ministers, they're here, people, we all have issues. And we're all a work in progress. Thank you, Jerry, for that, because I needed that. I needed to hear that from you because I thought, oh my God. What's going on in my life? I can't get past certain things. The Jerry teaching I watched, and she said she was a work in progress, and I realized that's who I am. I am a work in progress. I know who my Lord is. I know who watches over me and takes care of me every day. Every day. And I thank the Lord for giving me my Father's Spirit. I never cried. I never cried. It was, well, that's beyond me. I can't do that. I can't be that way. But you know, the Lord has allowed me to speak now because last night I really had trouble because when you've forgiven a lot, you're so grateful.
Yes.
The things have been cleansed out of you that have been there since you were a child. So grateful. So grateful. And I know that all of you know this. All of you know the issues in your life. And I should know mine. But I have been washed clean by His blood. I have been cleanse from all those terrible things in my life that pride will do to you. and rebellion will get you there.
Thank you.
Without further ado, we're honored to have Kathy Johnson this morning that's going to come up here and share a word from God with us. Just pay attention because you're going to get fed.
You're going to be what?
Fed!
No, that's a 12.
I really appreciate Merrill coming forward and sharing what he did. Stan brought forth that message last night on Wounded Private. That's my life. And I am a work in progress also, so just know that things that I bring forth, not me, but as Meryl so eloquently put it, I'm obedient. And unlike Meryl, I cry at the drop of a hat. So, when I cry, I can't read. So, I'll take a moment here. Alright. I also want to thank Ralph for that song. That was awesome. That really touched me. Did you write that? That was incredible. Thank you. And I also want to echo everything he said as far as deliverance and what deliverance has given me. Deliverance has given me my marriage, my children, my life. And that's why it's so hard when you're in the world and you have to deal with people that don't want to believe that Christians can have demons. There are churches that don't want to preach the full gospel. And so, it's tough. So today's message, I want to take a look at the book of Ruth. Now many of you know the story. There's a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. So Elimelech packs up his wife and his two sons, and they go to Moab to live. While he's there, he dies. His two sons take themselves wives of the women of Moab. They're in Moab for about 10 years, and during which time both die. So Naomi is left without her husband or her son. She decides to return to the land of Judah, and her daughter-in-laws decide to go with her. But two times along the way, she tells them to return back to their people, since she didn't have anything more for them. I'm going slow because I want the Lord to minister to you as I say each and every sentence. Orpah takes her up on her offer and leaves. But in Ruth 1:16, and Ruth says, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Whether thou diest, I will die. And whether thou wilt be buried, the Lord do so to me. And more so also. If aught but death part thee in me," Ruth makes a vow, "and commits to stick with Naomi through thick and thin." Now I need to interject one quick little item about vows. If you don't intend to keep your vow, don't make it. Here's a warning. Ecclesiastes 5:2-7. "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of businesses, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For if he hath no pleasure in fools, pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou vowest not vow, than thou shouldst vowest and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hand? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities that fear no God. And I don't know about you, but I would rather fear God than man. Okay, back to Ruth. So, Naomi and Ruth get back to Bethlehem. They go and they get there just in time for barley harvest. And Ruth asks if it would be okay to go to the field and gather the food for them after the harvesters have gone through. It was customary during this time in the land, and the law was not to pick everything so as to leave behind provisions for the widow and the poor. Leviticus 19:9-10, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thine harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard, thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 23:22, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them for unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 24:19, and when thou puttest down thine harvest in the field, and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again and fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the works of thine hand. Now notice that the word says, bless thee in all the works of thine hand. This is not a welfare program. The Lord makes provision, but not if you sit on your butt.
Amen.
Expecting a handout. And what did we hear Thursday night? If it didn't belong to you, it's cruelty. Is this only an example in the Old Testament? But aren't we under grace? Well, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:8-10, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he put back to Ruth. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, had a relative that was in good standing, and happened along when Ruth was out in the field that day. Now I just have to take a quick side here and talk about the Lord's providence. For just a minute, what are the odds that on that day Ruth would be in that field and that Boaz would just happen to come by? Now let's take that one step further. What are the odds that Ruth would catch Boaz's eye? I mean, there had to be hundreds of people harvesting through the many fields. And after all, Boaz was in good standing, meaning that he had lots of fields. So the providence of the Lord made it that on that day, their paths intersected. The enemy may attack us and throw things at us to try to devastate. I mean, after all, Ruth lost her husband, which is pretty significant. But even when the enemy attacks, it is filtered through the Lord's hand, who then changes it into a blessing. So Ruth found favor with Boaz, who had heard how she had returned with Naomi. See the Lord's providence? Boaz made special concessions with the harvesters, who even assisted her efforts. The Lord's blessing of provision. Then when Ruth gets home, she tells Naomi all about her day and the favor that is extended to her, the unmerited grace. Nothing that she did warranted this favor. At which point, Naomi decides to do a little matchmaking and instructs her daughter-in-law to go get all dolled up, go to the threshing floor where Boaz will be working that night. Stay hidden until after he falls asleep, then uncover his feet and lay at them. Boaz gets woken up by a bad dream, and in the middle of the night and finds Ruth laying at his feet. Now, up to this point, Ruth has done everything that her mother-in-law has said to do. But here is where she takes matters into her own hands and basically proposes marriage to Boaz. So what is Boaz's response? Ruth 3:10. And he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich, poor or rich." Boaz is so impressed not only with the kindness that Ruth showed by sticking with Naomi, but he is smitten and thrilled that she picked him. However, because he is a man of integrity, he knows that he has to first offer Ruth to a closest relative. This is another custom at the time to ensure that the continuation of the family line, the next closest relative, would be given the opportunity to marry the widow to continue the family name. Now, I don't want to give it away, but just like the rich young ruler that walked away from being a disciple of Jesus, this relative threw away an incredible heritage, as it was Ruth's family line that produced King David. And we all know that is the family line of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to share a quick allegory, a symbolic narrative that I heard from Alistair Begg between Boaz and Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. As she lay at Boaz's feet, we cast ourselves at the feet of Christ. She depends on Boaz's mercy, and we are dependent on Christ's mercy. She being covered by the corner of his garment, we are covered by the blood. She being introduced to all the peace and contentment and security as a result of being brought under the blessing of this man, Christ, who soothes our sorrows, calms our fears, and pours out his favor. She who is weighed down by the blessing from the field and the 6 measures of barley, he provided to her, and the windows of heaven that pour out the blessing, too numerous to count, including the next breath that we take. She came to Boaz, a penniless alien, and we come to Christ, the saint. Boaz taking her and making her his bride, and Christ taking us and making us his bride. As Boaz dealt with Ruth, Christ deals with each of his repentant people. Now, there's so much more that I could interject, and you probably know the rest of the story. But if not, you can finish up by reading Ruth 4, because what I want you to focus on today is integrity, doing the right thing. Another example in the Bible of someone that did the right thing was Mordecai. For those of you that aren't familiar with the book of Esther, Mordecai was Esther's uncle, who took her in after her parents' death and raised her like one of his own. During a feast, King Ahasuerus called for Queen Vashti, who refused to come, so she lost the kingdom and a few other things. So now they gather up the virgins to find a replacement for King Ahasuerus. Mordecai would visit Shushan every day to check on Esther's progress. And after Esther had won the heart of King Ahasuerus, the king made a great feast and gave gifts. In Esther 2:21-23, "In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Tethrish, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the one thing was known to Mordecai, who told them to Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore, that they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of Chronicles before the king." Did Mordecai do it for fame? Recognition? Status? Was he expecting to be compensated? Was he looking for an attaboy? Was he expecting his 15 minutes of fame? Did he do it to make Esther look good? He did it because of integrity. It was the right thing to do. Now later on in the passage, Esther's integrity is called on, and she is asked to do the right thing, even though she could be put to death. Will you do the right thing when called on? So what is integrity? Where does it come from? What determines it? What influences it? How do we get it? Integrity is defined as an adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. Like Boaz, since I didn't recap chapter 4, I want to be sure to point this out. When he went to his brother, Boaz could have left off the part about the property. He could have just told him half of the story. But he was forthcoming with all the details about Ruth and Naomi. The second definition, the state of being whole, entire, or undiminished. And the third would be sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition. To borrow a line from a book that I'm reading, integrity as moral courage is a set of personal principles you live by that are unchanging. Courage that takes you from intention to action and from debate to decision. So where does integrity come from? Things that might develop, things that might influence the development of integrity in your life, both good and bad. It can be passed down the family line. We talk about curses that come down the family line, but it's not always the bad stuff. We also get good stuff that's passed down the family line, such as principles, ethics, morals, values, just to name a few. What is your heritage, your background, your family line? Actually, Carla Bouton has a wonderful message, How Many People Are You? In which she examines this. So let's examine another family line. How about the sons and daughters of Belial that draw you away from the Lord? In Deuteronomy 13:13, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. For those of you that haven't heard it, Sharon's brother Elvis did a fabulous message on the sons and daughters of Belial. Come against them, their plans, their schemes. I don't have time to redo the whole message. So do a word study on Belial. B-E-L-I-A-L. And you will know them by their fruits. Sons and daughters of Belial include drunkenness, fornication, lying, thievery, just to name a few. In Judges 19:22, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, to set the house round about and beat the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that come into thy house, that we may know him. Now this is the story of the man that goes after his wayward concubine. But the point in bringing up this passage is the sons of Belial and the sexual sin. They wanted the master to give up the man and his servants so they could have homosexual relations with them. Then when the master wouldn't give them up, they abused the man's daughter unto her death. How about entitlement? Stan has done a couple of messages on entitlement. Feels what happens when you cry. Gloria, I can't see. Okay. Stan has done a couple of messages on entitlement, as well as Pastor Monty has done a whole series. See, I have to interject a little humor. Yeah. Make sure you guys are still awake, Pastor Monty has a whole series on socialism. But basically, entitlement is rampant in our country today. The socialism and Marxist agenda has permeated our culture. The young people today are being brainwashed Live your best life now. Bye now. Pay later.
Right.
Live for today. Who cares about tomorrow? Now, I feel as though I need to interject a warning here. There is an entertainer, and I use that word extremely loosely. Her name is Kesha. She has a huge following of young, impressionable people. She promotes Satan, has satanic icons in her performances, and she has stated that she has had sex with spirits. We know them as demons. If any of you want more information, you can go to goodfight.org. So what determines integrity? Key components of integrity, that is, what is in you? Would you do the same thing even if no one would ever know? There's a sign going into Vegas. God knows. That's for those that say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Who or what determines our value, our worth? If you've not heard Pastor Imani's series on He Makes Us Worthy, I highly recommend it. Our worth is not in us or in anything that we do. After all, we're dirt clods, right? Now, we've heard this time and time again, but when you go through the series, it really gets into you. The word says that there is no good thing in us, but He makes us worthy. Ethics. Where do ethics come from? We learn ethics from our family, in our upbringing, the experiences of life. Our family nucleus instills it into us. Now, some of you may not have had that solid foundation imparted into you. For those that didn't have perfect parents, and I don't think that anybody had perfect parents, we can go to the Lord. We can get reparented. We are children of Christ, and He is the perfect parent. Does your company have an official ethics position? In this day and age of do unto others and before they do unto you, it's not very common. So when one came across my desk, it caught my attention, so I wanted to share it. In this company's statement, the first item, seek truth. This is a company's ethical standards. The second is minimize harm and be accountable for our action. This has integrity to me. We need to take personal responsibility for our actions. How about arrested development? Now, for those of you that don't know about arrested development, it's where you don't grow up. It can be brought on by various things, some of which are trauma, abuse, horror, terror, something that has happened to you and your development has stopped. You may have grown up physically. You may have even grown up intellectually, book knowledge. But you didn't keep growing emotionally. How do you react to disappointment? Do you throw a temper tantrum? When you don't get your way? Or when the Lord says no? Are you the reserve, quiet, and just withdraw? Do you give people that you don't agree with the silent treatment? Shut down? Climb up. Examine your reaction. Become the wise child. Ask the Lord to show you why you react the way you do. In our church, we said, it's your buttons. So if somebody's pushing your buttons, find out why. They're your buttons. So what influences integrity? Integrity is also being tested under extreme conditions or enormous pressure. Anybody want to sign up for that test? Oh, pick me. Being tested, this integrity is the kind of testing that you put a bridge through to ensure that it can withstand the weight of many cars. Vibrations of the traffic or is able to stand up during an earthquake. The kind of testing that Job went through. Job 2:3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast to his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. The things the enemy put Job through, we can't even imagine. He lost everything. His family. His fortune. His fame. His health. But with all the testing, Job's integrity stayed intact. And I pray that when we are tested, we have the integrity of Job. Others can and you cannot is another good message that spells out, as Christians, we have even higher standards than those in the world. Because people are watching us. And the slightest slip up, they're right there pointing the finger. Satan is accuser of the brethren, and you better believe that he will be right there to shine that microscope on our sin. So that's why I appreciated what Merle brought forth as far as I'm a work in motion. I mean, I'm a work in progress, sorry. Can you stand up for what is right? Yeah, I'm a work in motion, too. Can you stand up for what is right and come against sin? Fornication, sex outside of marriage. Adultery, sex while being married to another. Before I became a believer, I was guilty of both. I see the destruction that is down that path. Interestingly, one thing that jumped out at me on this topic is when Joseph was being pursued by Potiphar's wife. Joseph says in Genesis 39:9, There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Did you catch that? It's a sin against God. So my advice to those that are contemplating marriage, not only do you want to be equally yoked, you also want to be sure that the one that you're marrying has that kind of relationship with the Lord, that they wouldn't sin against Him, our Heavenly Father. Even with all his mistakes, David was a man of integrity. The Lord says when talking to Solomon in 1 Kings 9:4, And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments. Spanking is another thing that influences integrity. Now, there's a wonderful message that was done at our church. Spoiled children grow up to be spoiled adults. The devil has permeated lies such as that spanking children teaches that violence is okay. That when you spank a child or tell them no, that you will destroy their self-esteem. That you crush their creativity and that you squash their enthusiasm. Lies. Kids thrive with boundaries. They need to know that they are loved, protected, and they develop security within that setting. But the enemy knows that. So they will do all that they can to destroy the confidence that they obtain. You never hear these stats. You just get the propaganda that the world wants to spew. Remember in the last message when I talked about just sitting and thinking? You can spend the time in solitude and silence with the Lord every day. And you should. I like to sit with a pad and a pen, and as things come to me, I jot them down. This is not a to-do list. But when he brings things to you, jot them down, because the enemy is quick to steal it away. As previously mentioned, the Lord created us. He created and knows our weaknesses, our strength. He knows every hair on our head. We need to spend time with him every day, but also get away and spend time, just you and the Lord. This is where he will speak to you. He puts his finger on areas that you need to get deliverance in. This is when he will edify you, minister to you. And I can't emphasize enough how much my life has changed since I started going away and spending regular times away with him. At our church, we started doing this in 2004, and I need to tell you about the early years. The first time was my casting roar. You might say it was my fleece, like Gideon, wanting to be sure. Now notice I said go away. You can't spend time with him at home. There's always something that needs to be done. Something that you need to take care of. Dishes that need to be done, laundry that calls your name, etc. My first time away, I said, okay, Lord, we can't afford me spending all this money. I want it to cost no more than $100 total. He met my need. Dan found a motel about an hour away from our house. So motel, food, gas was all less than $100 for the weekend. The second time away, I knew I needed to disconnect. Because back then, having a TV in the motel was a little distracting. Now I've disciplined myself, and now I don't even turn it on. So on the second time away, I decided to go camping. And we had a van at the time, so I got a reservation at a local campsite. And I would just lock myself in the van at night. I packed everything that I could possibly need. First one, atypical. Overanalytical. Food, water, change of clothes, for hiking. It's near the water, so a bathing suit, towel. I packed everything, including the kitchen sink. It was that bad that not only did I have the big mag flashlight, but I wanted to bring extra batteries, just in case I need them. After all, I was going away for a weekend, for goodness sake. I didn't quite have enough. There was one B battery short. I decided to just go, and if I needed to, I would go to the store. If I had more faith back then, I would have completely just put my trust in him. After all, didn't he create the universe and all that it is? But I was still working on trusting at the time. Now, I've been to this campground before. I have a favorite spot. It's number 127. It's surrounded by bushes. So even though you are amongst a bunch of people who are also there, you can be secluded. Well, the Lord sure does have a sense of humor. When I got to my campsite, sitting on the picnic table, one battery that I was missing. I can't put it up there. There you go. I didn't need it. I didn't even know if it was good. The only reason that it was there was so that I would know that he was there with me. And you will find that the Lord will speak to you in the little things that will not matter to anybody else, but he will bless and speak to you. Now, since the early times, the Lord has set it up. So now I regularly get to go away and spend time with him. Actually, nowadays I get paid to go and do that. I got it. I have a lovely condo by the beach where I get to spend time with him, reading, talking, walking, praying, and even writing messages. Sometimes I don't even pack food, because it's not about that. It's about getting away to spend time with the Lord. We have not because we ask not. Now when you go and spend time with him, it is not time to bring everything along. This is a time to disconnect. You don't have to bring your computer, your iPad, your smartphone. Oh, but I might need to look up a verse. Yes, but you also might need to check your email, take a call, and get distracted. So some of you may remember just a few years ago, not everyone had a cell phone. Remember the Lord's providence? We had to pick up someone from the airport. Stan and I both forgot our cell phones. This particular time. So we just prayed, loosed the angels to go ahead. We found our party without a problem or any delay. Remember when I said that the TV was a distraction for me? You need to develop disciplines in your life.
Amen.
So you can get to a point where you can take things because it won't have the same pull on you. It will be about the relationship and spending the time with the Lord. So you'll keep it turned off. I want to end with a couple of quick verses on integrity. Psalm 26:11. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Psalm 25:21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Some blessings of integrity. Psalm 41:12. And as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity. Integrity and settest me before thy face forever. Psalm 78:72. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressor shall destroy them. Proverbs 20:7. The just man walketh in his integrity, the children are blessed after him. Proverbs 19:1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So Lord, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take my position, my authority, the third heaven, my above principalities, powers, rulers, and I come against all the things that attack integrity. I come and I ask for forgiveness from vows that I may have made under duress. I ask that they be null and void, and I cover them in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be released from them. I come against the spirit of death and premature death. Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, any incident in our upbringing, abuse, horror, terror, arrested development, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, totalitarian parents, conditional love, having to work for approval, attacks to our self-worth, our worthiness, our value, our worth is not in us, but in our Lord Jesus Christ, as He makes us worthy. I come against any curses in the family line of slothfulness right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, laziness right now, entitlement, cruelty, not wanting to do our fair share, socialism, Marxism. I want what you have. How about the spirit of envy? Living by faith, religious spirits. The word says if you don't work, you don't eat. I come against occult curses right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Following occult leaders. Being part of or victim of occult rituals right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I come against everything that prevents us from doing the right thing. Fear of man. What will they think? What will they say? What if they don't like me? What if they don't? You can use discretion. I pray the Holy Spirit guard our tongues right now. I lose seasoned speech, wisdom to know what to say, when to say, just like Esther. I lose that spirit of Esther right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't just run and demand an audience with the king. The Lord directed her. Lord, I pray your direction. Lord, I pray you direct us in those things that we are to address and how we to address them. I cancel and come against the curses of sons and daughters of Belial, of drunkenness right now, fornication, lying, thievery, lasciviousness, sexual immorality. We ask forgiveness down the family line. Break the curses 1, 2, 3, 4 generations back. I come against the curse of the bastard for our children that are born out of wedlock. I come against the destruction of adultery and how it devastates families. I ask for forgiveness and repent of our actions and ask for your favor, your grace, your mercy. Lord, we repent of knowing better than you and not wanting to do what you say in your word. Lord, I come against that right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Falling prey to the lies of the enemy and their propaganda. Not doing what the word calls us to do and spending time with you and having a relationship with you. I pour into us, Lord, right now in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and ask that you restore what the enemy has stolen. We claim our rightful inheritance and ask our family heritage to be restored. Restore our ethics,
yes.
Our principles. We are called to a higher standard. 2 Chronicles 2:7-14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and will forgive them their sin and will heal their land.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.